Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Lighthouse Podcast. I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and I'm privileged and blessed to be sharing with you today on another podcast where we're going to be finishing up chapter one of Philippians. So, you know, I'm aware that this podcast, you know, reaches beyond Lighthouse in Twin Falls, Idaho, America, and that there are, you know, fellow believers in parts of the world whose daily life and whose weekly church and worship practice don't look like mine. And so I think that's what's awesome about the Word of God, is it is applicable to no matter where you're at, wherever you find yourself and wherever God has placed you. And so as we review, you know, we see that Paul wanted the believers in Philippi to have a sincere faith and a sincere practice in their faith in Jesus, and he wanted them to experience the fullness of that relationship. And so let's finish chapter 1 today. We'll start in verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it's become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak with the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerity, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as we always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by my life or by my death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy and faith, of joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now you hear is in me. So there's several statements in here. In fact, the whole big chunk here that Paul's talking about during his imprisonment, as he's reflecting on his captivity, that are striking to me. I'm immediately challenged by the way Paul has come to think of his time in a Roman prison as something that is turning out for the furtherance of the gospel. He's foremost concerned that he preached the gospel. In fact, he put it in 1 Corinthians, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity has laid it upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." So he considers it a woe if he doesn't preach the gospel. He's so convinced that the Lord has called him to preach the gospel. You know, and here he is in prison. This is his same concern, is that the gospel is furthered. You know, it's convicting for me because I find myself in an uncomfortable position, and I immediately think, how do I get out of this? And Paul is pleased that the gospel is furthered due to his imprisonment and definitely an uncomfortable position. And so he doesn't mind, he goes on to say that he doesn't mind how or from who or for what motive the gospel is preached. As long as the gospel is preached, he's blessed by it. And so there are a couple of two statements that stood out to me anyway that Paul makes here that I think require some deeper thought as we think about what we're telling ourselves and what we're telling new believers about what it means to believe in Jesus. And the first one, you know, while verse 21 is popular, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, it doesn't have the context until you read verse 20. And so this is where we see that here. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And then he goes on to talk about the struggle that he's having about, you know, should he have the choice to go and be with the Lord? Would he go and be with the Lord, or would he stay to continue his ministry? And so he has this struggle within him. And so this comes from Paul's very real awareness that death was literally at the door at any moment. You know, he was imprisoned by this brutal Roman Empire in their capital city, nonetheless. And he knew the possibility that any day could be his last. He was, had already been on trial. He'd appealed to Caesar. He had some rights as a Roman citizen. And his Roman citizenship meant basically that once he was sentenced to death, that he wouldn't be crucified. But that also meant that most likely he would be beheaded. And that's pretty much what church history tells us, is that he was eventually beheaded somewhere around the time that the first wave of persecution took place, or one of the first waves of persecution took place, which was when the city of Rome was most likely set on fire by Nero, and then the Christians were blamed for it, and a big wave of persecution took place. And so this is where we need to be cautious about, like, what we're thinking about, what we're telling ourselves and other believers, that there is a cost to following Jesus. And sometimes the cost, as Paul sees here, is persecution. And it's very notable to me that this dread did not hang over Paul's head. He wasn't considering this possibility as something to have anxiety over, right? He embraced this concept. So that's remarkable to me. So this is the power of the gospel and his conviction that he was to preach it no matter what came. So he was living for Christ, and his proclamation of the gospel, or, you know, either he was proclaiming the gospel, or upon his death he would be with Jesus face to face. And so either was fine with him, because it was all about serving the Lord. And so in his second letter to the Corinthians, he put it this way: "Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." And so Paul sees and knows that once we are absent from our body, once we are dead, we are immediately with the Lord. And so what Paul is saying is there's no downside to following Christ. And I think that's something that we can rejoice in today. And the Bible is very clear about that. And it's exactly what Paul was saying. And it would make perfect sense that he would tell these believers what he does in verse 29, which is the next one here: "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." And so Paul sees this as being a privilege and a joy to be able to not only serve the Lord, but to serve him in suffering. And so I think that's something that's worth pondering a bit for us. And so let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, its encouragement, that it is a joy and a privilege to serve you and even to suffer for the sake of the gospel, that there is no downside to following Jesus. And so help those who are suffering the most to endure it well, and for those who haven't yet experienced it, that we would pray for those who do and not be surprised if it visits us, Lord, but rejoice and in all things be glad that your Son is glorified through the proclamation of the gospel. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So have a great rest of your day.